And so the great mystics have said probably the most truthful thing that could be expressed in language, that the entire cosmos is a single word in the mind of God. A single thought, a single infinite concept that Bohm refers to as the implicate order, but this is what is meant by the logos in the Gospel of John. The Word in the beginning is the Word, because before the Word is spoken, there is no time, therefore no beginning. But that Word is simply waves upon the waters of infinity, the quantum unified field that suddenly has quantum wave functions that collapse into certain forms. And suddenly there is consciousness identified with form, and there is a seeming cosmos. But nothing ever really happened except a timeless conceptualization that includes the beginning, the middle, and the end, and the entirety of time contained within eternity as a single moment. This is the meaning of that word Om, the A-U-M, the beginning, middle, the end, the consciousness, the feeling, and the sensation, and then the death, the silence, the return to the infinite. But one who is captured within the flow of those conceptualizations and whose consciousness has become knotted in the heart to a body form and believes it was born and believes it went through traumas and believes it has certain deficiencies and certain needs and certain desires and certain demands upon reality, all of those constructs simply create the karmic suffering that the consciousness, so long as it is knotted in the heart to the unreal, can never overcome. And so it is not a doing, but a letting go of the concept of oneself as a doer, as separate from the self, that is the speaker of the Word of God, not the spoken. And so the real can only be regained by the return to the silence of the speaker prior to the speech, prior to the leaving the implicate for the explicate. But the ego mind, once it has come into its illusion of existence, wants to hold on to that existence and wants to eternalize its temporality. It wants to create concepts that will live forever and art that will live forever. This was Jung's problem. He wanted to picture God. He wanted to create a psychology that captures God, but he didn't want to surrender to God. He wanted to affirm the ego that is capable of mastery of God, mastery of the images of the divine, of the knowledge of the real. But the real can never be known. It can never be mastered. It can never be captured. And whatever construct one creates, Jungian psychology, for example, as a construct, had a shelf life of about 20, 30 years. It's gone. If you look around now into that world, they are post-Jungians. They have refuted nearly every idea of Jung's. They've psychoanalyzed Jung and discovered why his ideas were wrong. And those constructs will be overturned by others. That's all the world is a meat grinder of concepts overturned, destroyed, one after another, until the mind is totally exhausted and its final conceptions are only that of mega death and destruction, that final moment of the syllable Om, and the return to the silence, to the portal from death into eternity. And eternity is infinite creativity, infinite potency, potentiality, power, freedom. But as soon as one comes into time and space, one gives up one's freedom. One is now subject to the laws of nature and the laws of logic and the laws of aesthetic form and the laws of mechanics, etc., etc., including the law of entropy, in which one cannot sustain one's consciousness. It has a shelf life. It gradually degrades and turns into dementia. It is lost. Nothing can be held on to within the temporal. And yet the real is never lost. The real is always present, and it's all that is. But once you have identified with body and with the world of images and constructs, one's attachment is only to that. And one can't even imagine, let alone have a true yearning and love for God. Only for the images and the constructs and the dogmas and the beliefs and the illusion of empowerment and of luminosity and of angelic ascension and of all of those ideas that are within the imaginary frame of reference of the ego, in which it thinks it will be aggrandized through its spirituality rather than simply destroyed and dissolved as a delusion. Which is why the ego never wants to touch into real spirituality. It prefers to read books and have crystals and look at mandalas and see movies and do all of those things within the phenomenal plane to keep it entertained. And it wants to have its attachments in this plane and believe that it's experiencing reality and love and joy and truth, when all of it is illusory and all of it is all within a background of suffering and disappointment and dissatisfaction and emptiness and lostness and meaninglessness. And the ego ultimately falls into its lower death drive, and eventually that collective death drive brings about the result of mega death. But that too is not a tragedy. It's simply the end of the word of God, who will then speak a new word. God is not short of words. Eternal eloquence is present in the silence, as Sri Ramana is always saying to us. But that eloquence is only understandable when one has overstood the ego and the illusion and is standing at the vibrational frequency of God, so that the language of the real can be grokked. It cannot be grokked so long as you're identified with the unreal, so long as you think you're a bodily being in a world of time and space. There is no way that that presence of the absolute can penetrate into the illusory frame of reference that is created by the mental chatter that is constantly befuddling the mind and obfuscating the real and keeping out the very divine light and truth that would liberate one from the illusion, because the ego does not want liberation, because it does not want its own death. And so you cannot go through ego death as an ego until you have at least reached the soul level, that intersection of the real and the unreal, in which the concept of infinity and eternity can be recognized and penetrated into its absolute presence beyond the concept itself, in which the concept can fall away and the real can finally emerge. And it's the emergence of the real in the mind that overcomes the will to power of the ego, of its desire for power because it's powerless, but there is a desire for that will. And when that will has been overcome by the will of God, which is power, the will that is power, not seeking power, that power brings about the death of the ego. Not the ego itself, and not even the soul, but only the soul's surrender to the will of God that brings the only real power into being and dissolves the illusion of the manifestation, even while the dream field continues. Because time and space and the unreal of the finite is contained within the infinite. It is not different from it. Samsara is nirvana. The will of God is not somewhere else coming to you, even though it will seem like that, so long as there is any differential in the vibrational frequency. But it's that tsunami of overwhelming presence that eliminates the duality of differential vibrational frequencies and brings about the one unified field of consciousness once more as present. And when that happens, the illusion is concluded. It's finished. It's gone. It's gate, gate, paragate, parasangate, bodhi, swaha.